Good morning and welcome to worship to those in church, welcome to worship to those joining us on Zoom. It's good to see you here. If you wondered why I genuflected as I came into church, I was picking up a rubber band. I'm going to hand over to Marion for the intimations.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a new visitor.
Okay. George is just checking.
Gift day. A very big thank you to everyone who's already given to our annual gift day. The total is currently more than £1,280, and we estimate gift aid will add another £200 to this total. It is still possible to make a donation. The church bank details appear in the full intimation sheet. Cash. We have our next cash day on Sunday, the 6th of November. That's kids at church. The Blythewood Care shoebox appeal. You can help by filling a shoebox with items from the list provided. Donate items from the list, which we'll use to fill shoeboxes. Give a donation of money for transport costs or provide an empty shoebox. There is a box in the vestibule for donations or contact Elaine on 881713 if you need items collected. Hat, scarves and gloves suitable for the shoebox appeal available in the Irene Patterson room. Today is the final day for donations. Thank you very much. The Cycle Club. The next C4 Cycle Club outing will be on Saturday, the 12th of November, when we're going to Preston Island and Inzivar. Remembrance Day. Remembrance Sunday falls on the 13th of November this year. In addition to the annual normal act of remembrance, we are planning to commemorate the centenary of the dedication of the war memorial in Kearney Hill, which took place in 1922. Christmas Craft Fair. This year's craft fair will take place in church on Saturday, the 5th of November, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Lots of local stallholders will attend. Donations of craft and small gift items for the church stall would be appreciated. Today is the last day for donations in church. Or contact Dorothy Downey on 881379 or Margaret White on 269355 to arrange uplift. The Christmas newsletter. We're planning a Christmas newsletter to go to every house in the parish. This is our chance to tell the community what is happening in and around the church. We need content for the newsletter about our groups and activities. Articles should be sent to derek@kearneyhillchurch.org.uk by the 17th of November, please. One last intimation that's not on the list. Limekilns Parish Church are this year doing the reverse Advent calendar again. They collect goods throughout the month of November for the Dunfermline Food Bank. There are leaflets in the vestibule if anybody is interested in taking one, and it includes a list of urgently needed items on the back of it. We just have the order of service up for a quick look. Thank you.
Thank you, Marion. Maybe I should say that the email address for Derek, there should have been a .org.uk. There was a dot missing there, and I think there was a deadline. I think Marion said 17th. It's actually the 15th of November is the deadline for that. And to say that the reverse Advent calendar is, the idea behind it is when you have an Advent calendar, we're all used to opening the little door and you get usually a bit of chocolate. Well, the reverse Advent is simply a case of taking some time to give rather than to receive. And we've found down in lime kilns it's worked out really well. And just as lime kilns have a pile of boxes to come up here, and Karen will be in touch with Elaine about that. So lime kilns have joined in our collection to go with the shoe boxes. Some of us have joined with lime kilns in doing the reverse Advent. And certainly on one year between ourselves, the church here, and the villages in Limekilns Parish, we took a metric ton of goods to the food bank. And if you pick up the leaflet, you'll notice that a note from the food bank to say that the demand on the food bank at this moment in time is 28% higher than it was at the same time last year. And they anticipate, as we go into winter, that this is going to become even more difficult. So whether you join the reverse Advent or not, please remember the food bank and people, because this is for people who are on the edge, and it's good to be able to support. Let's worship God now. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 122. Let all the world in every corner sing. We're going to dedicate our offering and also dedicate our offerings of shoeboxes, and aware that there's a lot of shoeboxes here, but there are still more to come from various places, and I'm sure Elaine's garage will be piled up as usual. These shoeboxes will be delivered to vulnerable people in Eastern Europe as they are year by year. They go to Ukraine, Albania, Bulgaria, Hungary, Kosovo, Moldova, Romania and Serbia. I think last year it was just short of 83,000 boxes that were taken out. It is a very important thing that we do, and these go to people who have very, very little, and of course, particularly this year in Ukraine, it is a very difficult situation, and it is good for us to remember those who will be taking the things out, because these are not always safe places, and particularly Ukraine. And I always remember at this time of year a talk by one of the drivers who was given the opportunity to go out to one of the communities where they had delivered boxes, and this would have been in the summer. And he said the moment that brought him to tears was when he went into a family house. They said, come and see. And they kept the box. Now, a shoebox covered with Christmas paper is nothing to me, but it was everything to them, so much so that they'd even kept the box. So it is a good and right thing that we are part of. So let's dedicate these things to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask you to receive our normal offering, those things that we give of our time, talent and money, the things that we give for the work of the church. This morning we ask you to also accept our physical gifts in the boxes before us and the greater number that will go to the lorries that will take them out to people in need. We thank you for the giving. We thank you for the work and the transport. We thank you that we can help those who have so much less than we have. So we ask your blessing upon all that we have offered this morning. May they be to your glory and to the service of people across the face of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. And now Alistair is going to lead us in our prayers.
So let us pray. Let all the world in every corner sing that you are God and we praise you. You are the Lord and we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father. All creation worships you. To you, all the angels of heaven sing your endless praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The apostles gone before us praise you. The prophets of old praise you. Those who gave their lives even to death as martyrs praised you. Throughout the world, the church acclaims you. You are our majestic Father, along with your true and only Son, our Saviour, and the Holy Spirit, our advocate and guide, worthy of all our worship. Father, we praise you for your miracle of love by which you use the death of Jesus on the cross to set us free. The place of defeat has become the place of victory. In the humiliation of one man, we are confronted by your glory. Where life was lost, we find eternal life. Such love, pure as the whitest snow. Such love weeps for the shame I know. Such love, paying the debt I owe. O Jesus, such love. Lord, we know that we have not been as good as we should all the time. Sometimes we've been lazy or disobedient and wanted our own way. Sometimes we've been quarrelsome and lost our temper. We've been greedy and selfish, wanting all the best things for ourselves. Please forgive us and help us to change for the better. Such love, stilling my restlessness. Such love, filling my emptiness. Such love, showing me holiness. O Jesus, such love. Lord, we have not fully learned how to make peace. We have taken advantage of each other. We have judged each other without true knowledge. We have set up barriers of pride in our possessions, You have divided people by their skin colour. You have even shown religious superiority. Forgive us, merciful God. Let us commit our whole selves to you. Such love springs from eternity. Such love streaming through history. Such love, fountain of life to me. O Jesus, such love. Lord, we are humbled as we wonder at your greatness and power, your gentleness and love. Help us to worship you in our words, in our thoughts, and in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gave us these words of prayer we now say together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 201, Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness. I suspect that a number of us will have read the children's book, The Tiger Who Came to Tea. At the very least, most of us will have seen the book on a bookshelf as we pass the children's section in a bookshop. The story is very simple. It's aimed at young children. Sophie and her mother are having afternoon tea when the doorbell rings. This is the arrival of the tiger. In the story, the tiger eats and drinks everything in the house. And if I remember rightly, that includes draining the taps. This story came to mind when I was reading the passage from Isaiah that we'll hear Claire read very shortly. Isaiah is rightly regarded as one of the greatest of the prophets. In Isaiah's words, we find some of the best known prophecies regarding the Messiah. The words of Isaiah find their fulfillment in Jesus. He is one of the great men of the Old Testament. A question that is sometimes asked is, if you could invite anyone from history to a dinner party, who would be on your guest list? Who would be sitting at your table? Some might say someone like Isaiah. From the perspective of history, a great man of God, he could well be on our list. What would it be like to meet and hear someone who spoke God's word so powerfully? The answer is probably that the real man of God is not someone we would want to meet. Like the tiger, people like Isaiah are best viewed from a distance. And in Isaiah, it's the distance of history. When we get to the passage that we're about to read, we should be aware that the people he is speaking to are the people of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the city of God, the holiest place on earth. The temple in Jerusalem is where heaven touches earth. Here is the tangible presence of God. And as you hear the beginning of the reading, you'll notice that Isaiah talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. These were the very epitome of evil. They are at absolutely the other end of the spectrum for people in Jerusalem. They are the very worst, those condemned by God. We might not immediately think of Isaiah for our imaginary dinner party. But if you read enough of these accounts, you'll find that quite a number of people say, wouldn't it be good to have Jesus at the table? What about Jesus at our dinner party? Imagine meeting Jesus in the flesh, the wonder of seeing, hearing, and touching this man. And then I thought about the real Jesus. The Jesus who turns lives inside out and upside down. The Jesus who does not mince his words, especially with those who have religious authority. I began to think of the tiger who came to tea. Isaiah would be an uncomfortable guest as he speaks words from God. And Jesus, even more so, he is the Word of God. Isaiah talks of sin and salvation. Jesus is salvation. In Jesus, the transforming power of God. Well, we're going to read from chapter 1 of Isaiah and chapter 19 of Luke. Maybe just keep in your mind what it would be like to meet with Isaiah, to have Jesus come to tea. Claire, would you like to read for us?
As Norman has said, our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 to 20. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me? Says the Lord. I have more than enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, and it's entitled Zacchaeus and Jesus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen, and may God bless his reading of his holy word.
We continue by singing the hymn, Beauty for Brokenness, hymn 259.
Thank you.
I'd forgotten how difficult that one is to sing to the electronics, organists and musicians. That's your feedback. It's very good words, but electronics don't play like musicians, I'm afraid. When I looked at the two Bible readings for this Sunday, it was clear that they were readings about salvation. In Isaiah, it is about Jerusalem and Judah. In Luke, it is about Zacchaeus. In both readings, we have a description of people who are irredeemable. Isaiah could not have been clearer in his description, and Luke is well aware that tax collectors were the epitome of evil. The title for today's sermon was just obvious: Sin and Salvation. As usual, I looked for a quotation to go with the title. I came across two that initially seemed identical. One attributed to Epicurus, a Greek philosopher of the 3rd and 4th centuries BC, and the other attributed to the reformer Martin Luther, writing in the 16th century. Initially, I wondered if Luther was quoting Epicurus. It took a little while, but I suddenly noticed a very important difference. Epicurus talks about knowledge. Luther talks about recognition. I suppose we might describe this as the difference between philosophy and faith. This is not to say that knowledge is unimportant. Knowledge is very important, but recognition goes beyond knowledge. Recognition makes knowledge personal. Perhaps a good example of this are these boxes in front of us. We have the knowledge that the nations of Eastern Europe have many people who are struggling, and not least in, as we look at Ukraine. We know there is need. We know that people go to address that need, and we know that things, well, goods and money are needed for those people to do their work. That's the knowledge. It is our recognition of that need that prompts us to do something. And so here is what we are doing. Knowledge is important, but recognition produces action. As a coincidence, if you can call it that, my daily Bible readings this week have been from the book of James. This letter in the New Testament has as a constant theme, faith is seen in action. And many commentators talking about the letter of James say that it feels contemporary. It doesn't feel as though it belongs in the first century. It feels as though it belongs in the 21st century. Faith is found in action. Sometimes people outside the church make the accusation that we who are in the church think that we are better than they are, that we are guilty of believing that we are right and they are wrong, or put another way, that we are good and they are sinners. When people make that accusation, I always say to them, you've got it wrong. It's absolutely the other way round. We who are in the Church of Jesus Christ are those who hold up our hands and say, we are sinners. I am a sinner in need of salvation. I am not a good man. I need Jesus. I confess that I am a sinner and that I am not right, and that's why I'm in the church. The recognition of sin is the beginning of salvation, as Luther says. In our Old Testament reading, which I was really pleased the way you read it, Claire, you sounded just like a prophet. I was waiting for you to bang on the lectern. We have Isaiah addressing people of the southern kingdom of Judah. Other prophets, some contemporary, some just before Isaiah, had said very similar things to people of Israel, the northern kingdom. He told them of the error of their ways, how they were not behaving as God's people, and that if they didn't sort it out, they would be under God's judgment. And by the time Isaiah is addressing the people of Judah, Israel has been conquered, and a great number of the people had been taken into exile. And we can be sure that the people of Judah knew that they were in the right. You see, they've got Jerusalem. They're the ones who are doing all the right things. Those, that lot up in the north, my goodness, they got what they deserved. What Isaiah is saying to the people of Judah is that you are no better, and you face the same fate. It's no good going to the temple and making all the right motions, all of those sacrifices, and then not living as you should as God's people. The equivalent would be me being holy today and going home and being dreadful to my family, being, if I was working out in the world, being a lousy boss or a poor worker. In quite a number of places in the Old Testament, the people are warned that sacrifice does not make up for wrong behavior. This is the attitude that says, well, paying the fine is easier than keeping the law. I once had somebody who works in business who said to me quite honestly that when they go into Edinburgh, they park and never pay, because it's cheaper to pay the occasional fine than it is to pay the parking. Now, I don't know if that's still the case in Edinburgh, but I went, really? And that's what the people were thinking. We'll just pay the fine, and then we can behave how we like. God is not to be appeased. What God asks of his people is obedience. And so Isaiah, in the harshest of terms, speaks out and says, you know, you're like Sodom and Gomorrah. But remember, he begins by saying, hear the word of the Lord. These are not Isaiah's words. These are God's words. These words tell the people who and what they are, but they also have words of hope. There are words of condemnation in the harshest of terms, but there are also words of salvation. If the people recognize the word of God, if they recognize their sin, they have the hope of salvation. In our New Testament reading, we have that very well-known story of Zacchaeus meeting with Jesus. In these few verses, we can picture what is happening. And I always have a certain sympathy with Zacchaeus as a small man. I can never see over the crowd. You know, I go to parties and, have you seen so-and-so? Well, I can't see anybody. So I get Zacchaeus climbing the tree to see Jesus. So we have that wonderful picture of the crowd, of the little man who is the outcast climbing the tree and that moment of meeting. We have here a man who is beyond salvation. This collaborator with the enemy of God's people is in word and action an enemy of God. The authority that he carries is the might of Rome. Tax collectors were not known for being very fair, and he is a chief tax collector, chief of the sinners. Zacchaeus would have been feared and hated in equal measure. And I've always read between the lines here when Jesus tells him to come down. And I can almost picture the crowd. Yeah, Zacchaeus, you're coming down to face a man of God. You know, this evil guy, you're going to look small, not just in stature. Wait till Jesus gets to you. And what happens is utterly shocking. By going to his house, Jesus honours the man with his presence. To eat with such a person means that Jesus shares his unrighteousness. The crowd are appalled. Surely this is no man of God, because we know that man is beyond redemption. Jesus is offering salvation to the irredeemable. But remember, Jesus is the tiger who comes to tea. I've always thought the person who is really hammered here is Zacchaeus. Because Zacchaeus faces up to who he is. The response that Zacchaeus makes reveals his recognition of sin. His actions are not merely correcting past wrong. That generosity in there is an indication of an absolute change of heart. Zacchaeus has had his life turned upside down and inside out. This is no easy guest, and life for Zacchaeus is going to be so much more difficult. And so we're back to where we started, with the tiger who came to tea. Jesus is not the easy guest. He is the challenging guest. As followers of Jesus, we cannot judge anyone as being beyond redemption. And we can think of some pretty awful people as we look at the state of our world and the state of our nation and the state of our community. Karen just said to me on Thursday, why do we get the Dunfermline Press? Look at the stuff that's in there. And in Jesus, those people are redeemable. Who knows what Jesus will do? As followers of Jesus, we have invited Jesus into our lives. We've asked him to come in and eat with us. And who knows what Jesus will do, is doing with us. We have invited the tiger to tea. What will God do through Christ with us? And maybe it is a moment for us to remember as we have our prayers for others that these situations that Alistair is no doubt going to pray for, the people in there are redeemable, and we pray because we know that God in Christ can transform. Alistair.
Don't know if that moved up or not. Not really. Okay, we come to our prayers for others this morning, and we'll include in our prayers a prayer for the world church, including, of course, our brothers and sisters who are suffering for their faith in many parts of the world, the persecuted church, and including a prayer by Patrick Sukdio of Barnabas Aid. So let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank you for all the good things of life. Help us to see them and to count them and to remember them, that our lives may flow in ceaseless praise. We pray for our world, so many issues, but climate change seems to outweigh them all at the moment. As world leaders prepare for COP27 next month, we question what has been done since last year. When targets are missed, or only a small number of countries attempt to change things. When we realise that oil companies have known for decades that fossil fuels cause global warming, we wonder indeed if it will be just more blah, blah, blah. We pray for a real commitment from those who have the power to make a difference. We remember too just now those in South Korea, in Seoul, those who are grieving the death of loved ones who have been crushed during that gathering last night. We pray for those who have been treated in hospitals. We pray for their treatment, for their recovery. We pray for our country. So many issues. Once again, we are praying for a new Prime Minister. We pray for great wisdom and integrity for him, and also for our First Minister here in Scotland. We give thanks again for the life and witness of Queen Elizabeth, and pray that King Charles will seek and know your help in his new role. We bring before you other issues facing our society today: religious liberty, our schools, sanctity of life, gender ideology. Help us to be faithful in prayer, to look to you, Lord, and your strength, to seek your face always. Gracious Lord, we pray for your church in this world. So many issues. When war and violence surround your people, when death is on every side and man has ceased to be his brother's keeper, our times are in your hands. When disease stalks the land, a pestilence that strikes without warning, when sickness and sorrow fill the air, our times are in your hands. When disaster has descended upon us, storm, tempest and earthquake, floods, drought and locusts, our times are in your hands. When famine ravages the barren earth, when food is gone and children cry for bread, when hunger and starvation are all they know, our times are in your hands. When persecution is on every side, when family and friends reject and betray, when authorities punish even to death, gracious Lord, keep your people faithful. When your hand of judgment is heavy upon us for our many sins, which we acknowledge and repent, then in your wrath, remember mercy. Gracious Lord, forgive us. Keep your people faithful. Our times are in your hands. Lord, we now bring you before you in the silence of this moment, those people and situations known to us in need of your loving care at this time. Lord, keep us from false hope. Keep us from faithless despair. Thank you for your gift of peace. Amen.
Our closing praise, hymn 622, We Sing a Love That Sets All People Free. Oh no, we're not. I've just flicked over to Limekilns. I was there some time ago, yeah. I'm going back on holiday. No, we're actually going to sing 512. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Go now to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.